to walk in supernatural faith. I want to help you do that today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, biblical scholar and cultural commentator, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. Call 866-34-TRUTH to get on The Line of Fire. And now, here's your host, Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, from the heart, I want to infuse you today with faith and with truth and courage to help you stand strong on the front lines. Those are not just empty words. That is my holy goal by the Spirit, by the Word of God, with the emphasis today on infusing you with faith. This is Michael Brown. You are listening to or watching the Line of Fire broadcast. So glad to have you with us today. You can call in. I'll get to some calls a little later in the show if you want to continue some of the discussion we've been having about politics and faith. 866-348-7884. If you have a random Bible question, I may be able to get to that as well later in the show, or a specific faith-related question, how to build faith, grow in faith, overcome faith obstacles, 866-348-7884 is the number to call. If you are looking for expert analysis of the Democratic National Convention, you won't get that here. There are plenty of others who can do a better job of that than me. If you are looking for my analysis of the latest presidential polls and what they tell us, sorry, I'm not your man for that. There are others that could do a much better job than me. When it comes to helping infuse you with faith and courage, helping you stand strong, God's called me to do that, anointed me to do that, graced me to do that. He's given me things that can be contagious. You know, he's gifted you in a certain way. Maybe you're a gifted teacher of the word. And when you start teaching, people just want to dig in. They want to learn more. Or maybe you're a gifted evangelist. And when you start talking about winning the lost, it inspires them. They want to go for it, win the lost. Or maybe you're a great musical teacher. And when you begin to show, hey, this is how you can begin to play, wow, you inspire something. God's gifted me with faith that helps inspire others to get out of the boat and walk on the water. If you're watching on YouTube or maybe see a podcast title, you'll see that we titled it, God is Calling Us to Walk on Water. Okay, I don't literally mean that we are supposed to get out of boats and walk on water. Last time I was on the Sea of Galilee, I thought what everybody thinks, Jesus walked on water here. And how many people have tried to walk on water on the Sea of Galilee? Probably more there than anywhere else in the world, and everyone sank. We get that. We understand that. I'm talking spiritually. There is a way where we get out of the boat and walk by faith, and supernatural things happen. If faith is taking hold of the supernatural promises of God. Faith is getting out of the boat and doing what is impossible for man, but is possible with God. We will not see America changed without supernatural faith. We will not see the Great Commission completed without supernatural faith. We will not see Israel saved without supernatural faith. We will not see many of the breakthroughs we long for and yearn for in our own lives without supernatural faith. We will not see loved ones saved and different things happening that are so important to us without supernatural faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For the one who comes to God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, how do we grow in faith? How do we become people of faith? Presumption is not faith. Delusion is not faith. Sanctified daydreaming is not faith, even if we're dreaming about good things, godly things. Faith has substance. Faith is divine reality that we take hold of. It's reaching into this other realm, and as we do, there are realities there. I remember some movie decades ago, and there's this massive chasm, and you crash hundreds of feet down. How do you get from one side to the other? And the director was, take a step. But if I take a step, I step into nothing. No, take a step. Well, show me the step first. No, take the step, and then the bridge will appear. So the bridge, you could say, was spiritually there, just talking back about faith now. It was spiritually there, but it was not visible. So faith sees into the invisible. Moses, Hebrews 11, endures as seeing one who was invisible. So are you getting a feel for this? This is what happens through faith, that we step out, and now that which was unseen is now seen and is real and is tangible. I want to read to you from Luke, the 5th chapter. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. So there's such throngs of people that they had to get out into a boat and just get a little way from shore where they couldn't surround him and crush him, and then he taught. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. There were two problems with this. Wrong time of the day and wrong location, which the fishermen knew. The fish are at certain places at certain times, so we need to go at the right time in the right place. You're telling us to go to the wrong place at the wrong time. So Simon answered, Master. Now notice he doesn't call him Lord there, but Master. So a different term, but understanding his authority as well, understanding that he is the boss. Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. So we were out at the right time at night. We didn't catch anything, and we were where we were supposed to be, and we didn't catch anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. So they go out into the deep water, where theoretically you wouldn't find the fish that they were looking for, and it's the wrong time of day. Because you say so, I will let down the net. So Peter acted by faith, went into the deep water, contrary to what his mind was telling him was rational, because Jesus told him. Not his imagination. Jesus told him. Jesus gave the command. Faith is responding to God's word. Faith is responding to God's command. Faith is responding to God's nature, not to our human thinking, not to our human imaginations and ambitions, but to truth from God. That's what faith responds to. Okay, I don't see you visibly, God. I'm reading your word and trusting your word is true. I'm hearing your spirit speak to me and trusting it's really you. So I'm going to do something that my mind tells me is illogical, but you are telling me to do. Let me make something plain. Faith doesn't try. Well, I'll try getting off my meds and see what happens. Well, I'll try quitting my job and see what. No, faith doesn't try. Faith is a response to a command or an invitation or a promise of God. Big, big difference. So what does Peter do by faith with his other fishermen? They go into the deep water because Jesus told them to, and they let down their nets because Jesus told them to. Would be the same as if he said, sell your possessions and give to the poor. How are we going to live? Jesus told us to. Quit your job and go do this missionary work. How are we going to be supported? Jesus told us to. This is how it works. You need to start giving consistently to your local congregate, but I can't afford. Okay, if you're telling me to, I will. And then God somehow supplies. When we lose our lives, we find them. When we try to preserve them, we lose them. It's a principle from God. We gain by giving. It's the opposite of what our minds would say. When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. Probably, in the history of fishing, the most miraculous catch of all time. The boats begin to sink because of so many fish. Absolutely extraordinary. Now, I don't know what God's speaking to you about. I don't know what he's dealing with you about. But all of us have to live by faith. Just putting our trust in Jesus to save us from sin. Believing that with him, we can trust for eternal life forever and ever. So we are putting this world and the world to come fully in his hands. And maybe you're a school teacher and your school is going totally woke and is demanding that you act a certain way and go against your convictions for in order for you to keep your job. And you need the job for income. But to do that is to compromise your convictions. So it takes faith to say, I'm going to do what's right. You don't know what's going to happen in the natural. But by faith, you know if I honor God, things will turn out for the best. And if I dishonor God, they'll turn out for the worst. That is a faith decision. You're a young person in school with pressure to conform a certain way. Otherwise, you will lose your scholarship. Otherwise, you will lose this open door. Otherwise, you'll lose this connection. And these things are important. But you know what's right in the sight of God. So you do what God says, regardless of cost or consequence, and somehow you look back a year or two or five later, and God turned things for good, for the best. You're a preacher of the gospel, and you know what God wants you to speak on, but you're afraid. You're a pastor. You're afraid if you speak up. You're afraid if you speak out that you'll lose congregants. You're afraid that the biggest tithing members who are underwriting your new building project, that they'll drop out, then what? But you know that God wants you to take a stand, so you take a stand. That's walking by faith as well. And sometimes we lose a lot before we get it all back and more. Sometimes things go in the opposite way that we expect, but we know that we know what the will of God is, and we do it. See, faith is not just believing for a healing or believing for a breakthrough in someone's life. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is why we do what we do. And friends, today marks 53 years since my first sermon in 1971, August 21st, 1971, at the age of 18. So I've been at this by God's grace for a while, and I can tell you, God is faithful. God is deserving of our faith. And when you do things his way and honor him, he will bless. Let me say it again. When you do things God's way and honor him, he will bless. It's the only way to live. We are people of faith, not just a momentary act of faith, but we live by faith. We walk by faith. We operate by faith. Come on, friends. Let's stay strong. It's time.
This is Michael Ellison, founder of Trivita Wellness. Being aware of the dangers of homocysteine is crucial to protecting our health. This natural occurring amino acid that the body creates plays a vital role. But when elevated in excess, it can pose significant risk to our health. One of the dangers of elevated homocysteine is the impact on cardiovascular health. Research has shown that high homocysteine can contribute to heart disease, stroke, and other cardiovascular conditions. Another risk factor, it has been linked to cognitive decline and neurodegenerative conditions. One of the best ways to manage homocysteine is to supplement with B12, B6, and folate found in Trivita's HCY Guard. In my own wellness journey, I was concerned because of family history. My grandfather passed away at 41 years of age with heart failure. My father was diagnosed with heart disease at 38 years of age. When I was made aware of the dangers of homocysteine, I knew I would find a supplement formula to help manage my own health. It was with that knowledge that ACY Guard was developed at Trivita Wellness. It is a favorite supplement for those wanting to manage homocysteine and promote cardiovascular health.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, call 1-800-771-5584 or online at trivita.com. Order today and use promo code BROWN25 to receive 25% off your order. As a new customer, 100% of your order proceeds from your first order will go to support the Line of Fire radio broadcast. 1-800-771-5584 or online at TRIVITA. TriVita.com.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on the Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Right before the show, that's when I had my TriVita supplement. Some of my supplements for the day had Nopalea earlier in the day and the NeuroShine, that's part of the day. And then nitric oxide, MyoHealth, those are the others that part of regularly, and then ashwagandha. Before about an hour before I go to sleep at night, great new products being advertised. So check these out, all right? You'll do yourself well. You'll benefit your own health. And remember, you're donating to the Line of Fire. You're not killing two birds with one stone. You're helping two causes at once, your own health and helping us reach more people. So the TriVita number, 800-771-5584. Or if you go to TriVita.com, make sure you use the code BROWN25. All right, to get on the broadcast with me today, 866-348-7884. So here's the whole challenge of faith, that on the one hand, you have to take a step. And people have often said faith is spelled R-I-S-K, that on some level, you're taking a risk. For example, talk about putting our faith in Jesus to save us. So we are risking our life in this world and our life in the world to come, in the sense of we're putting it all in this one basket, Jesus, Jesus alone, to save, deliver, forgive, and give us eternal life. Jesus and Jesus alone. We're saying no to other religions, other philosophies, and saying yes to him alone, God working through him. That's our hope. That's our desire. That's our foundation. So we are taking a risk in that sense, but we're sure, right? I'm not worried. I'm not wondering. He changed my life. The word is true. I'm sure. I'm 100% sure of his reality. In fact, in ways, his reality, God's reality, is more real to me than life itself in terms of the utter, ultimate certainty. But remember, we're looking at what we cannot see. Yes, there's evidence of God. I've had radical transformation in your life. You've had God work in your life, dramatic answers to prayer, Word of God speaking in so many powerful ways, but ultimately we're still believing and something we can't see. For example, when I put my hand on this computer mouse here, all right, for my computer screens, this is not faith. It mentally I understand as I touch it, things will move, right? But I can see it. I'm touching it. Whereas when I'm talking to God, I don't see him. And even though we'll often feel his spirit moving, it's still someone invisible, and when faith is always calling us out of our comfort zone into this other place. And I want to share some things that will build faith with you, all right? Let me read you, though, another passage, this time from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and here's what Paul writes there. We'll start in verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. How do you fix your eyes on what is eternal? How do you fix your eyes on what is unseen? In the summer of 1983, after God had wonderfully moved in my heart the previous year, bringing to me to repentance for my theological, intellectual pride and the leaving of my first love. Although I was a committed believer with a strong testimony, and my wife and I, Nancy and I, doing much good, taking refugees and hurting people and caring for them in our home and making them part of our family. We were rich in good works. I was strong in my faith in so many ways, but I'd left my first love. God brought me to repentance in 82, sent an outpouring of the Spirit through me that radically touched our church. And then in the summer of 1983, he spoke to me to quit my job and teach at a Bible school on Long Island. Now, there was a process. There was a process. I remember some days prior to that, I had been in a situation, Nancy and I had gone out to eat with someone, and I knew the normal protocol was that this person would pay for our dinner. We had very little money, but I knew, no, you pay for everybody. You pay. Just a little thing. I just felt the Lord say, you pay. Okay, no big deal. Then we're at some meetings together, and I remember I had $50, basically, if I recall the exact amount, $50 in cash with me, which we needed if any other little things came. We had a credit card, of course, but needed some cash, and we're at a service, and an offering was being received, and I felt the Lord say, give it all. Give it all, which was a lot of money to us then. Give it all. But I knew it was the Lord. I did it. So it was like a test. Are you listening? Are you listening? Are you listening? And then I'm sitting in a service, and at the end of the service, a woman in the church had shared some teaching from the Bible about tithing, and the pastor got up, and he held the Bible over the pulpit, and he said, sometimes I feel like God's saying to us, I dare you to believe it. I dare you to believe it. And at that moment, I felt the Lord speak to me. Tithing was not an issue. I'd always given since I was a believer. But I just felt the Lord speak to me. Go out on the street, find someone to share the gospel with. It was a midweek service, nighttime. Go out in the street, find someone to share the gospel with. There was a gas station, convenience store there, a restaurant down the block. And so I just got out. I knew this the Lord was prompting me to do. And it was in response to the pastor holding that Bible over the pulpit, dangling it over the pulpit, saying, sometimes I feel like God's saying to us, I dare you to believe it. I dare you to believe it. So I got up. I went out. I found a couple that was on their way into the restaurant. I kind of surprised them. Just shared very briefly. They went in the restaurant. But I knew I had obeyed the Lord. And I sat back in my seat in the church service, just pumped spiritually. And this process, I'd heard about this Bible school in Long Island. The pastor asked me to pray about whether I was supposed to teach there. And sure enough, I feel this calling. Quit your job and go teach at Christ for the Nations. I had a branch on Long Island from 83 to 91. This was 83. Quit your job and go teach at Christ for the Nations. I knew it was the Lord. I knew it. I felt this divine affirmation. Yeah, go for it. I went home and told Nancy. She burst out laughing, not because she was not believing. It just seemed so, what? Really? I called my mom. I said, Mom, I'm going to be moving out. We're going to be moving about an hour on the island. Of course, we come see every week. She was a widow, the kids, but I'm going to be moving about an hour out on the island to teach at this Bible school. I called my boss. I said, I'm going to be leaving my job sometime later this year. Teach at a Bible school. Okay, Mom, great. And it's a few months' notice, etc. But it was before anybody at the school, we put our house on the market and sold it and bought a house out there before anybody had hired me because God spoke it. But there were these little tests for us. Are you listening? Are you listening? Sometimes that's what he does. And you take a baby step, and then a bigger step. And when you do, I'm walking on the water. What can actually walk on the water? It's a miracle. So that's where the miracles are. Based on Luke 5, some have said the miracles of God are in the deep waters of obedience. I posted that the other day on Dr. Michael Brown on Facebook, and someone said, are you now saying performance is more important than grace? Come on, do we always have to throw this performance stuff around? I'm talking about obeying God. It's not performance. It's obedience. Obedience is highly prized in Scripture. No, we don't earn something from God, but we don't get in the path of blessing if we're not in the path of obedience. And it's all by grace. It's all empowered by grace. It's all helped by grace. So many times we have to get in over our head, and that's when the miracle happens. We don't create it ourselves. Well, get rid of the meds, and God will have to work a miracle. Well, I quit my job, and God has to come through. No, no. Faith is responding to a word from God. Faith is responding to the prompting of God. Faith is responding to a promise of God. But friends, some of you, God's been challenging you to get out of the boat, and you won't see the breakthrough until you obey him. You won't see the breakthrough. For some, it's an area of giving. For some, it's an area of obedience in ministry. For some, it's an area of responding to a calling. For some, it's an area of stepping out and standing up for what's right. But the reason I'm on the air is to help you, to help us see revival in the church, the moral culture revolution in society, and redemption of Israel. And that's going to happen through each of us walking our calling. And you're going to live out the destiny, the calling that God has for you, friends. If he's speaking to you, get out of the boat and start to walk on the water. You'll be amazed at what he does. Hey friends, Michael Brown here. My delight to serve as your voice for moral sanity and spiritual clarity. We are living in such urgent times today, friends, that all of us are in the line of fire. There's a target on your back. There's a target on my back. If you simply seek to live by biblical values or just conservative moral values, you could be canceled. You could be cast out. You could be put down. You could be silenced. I'm here to say, friends, that I am not about to be silenced, and I don't believe you are either. It is time for us to stand up. It is time for us to say enough is enough. It is time for us to push back in Jesus' name. Not fighting the way the world fights. No, overcoming evil with good, overcoming hatred with love, overcoming the flesh with the power of the Spirit, overcoming lies with truth. And that's what we're here to do on the Line of Fire broadcast. And friends, it's not just a broadcast. It is a movement of people around the world. God's people standing up saying enough is enough and saying, Lord, here we are. Send us, use us. I want to urge you today to join our support team because we are on the front lines together. And we are literally touching people around the world, in America, in the nations, in Israel. And together with your help, we're going to amplify this voice and spread this movement around the globe. So I encourage you, go right now to thelineoffire.org, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support, thelineoffire.org. Click donate monthly support. When you do, you become a torchbearer. We immediately send you two great life-changing books. We immediately give you access to many classes I've taught. Others have to pay to take those. You get them for free. Exclusive video audio content, a new audio message every month, an insider prayer newsletter, 15% discount on our online bookstore, so much more. Join our support team today. Go to thelineoffire.org. Donate monthly.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for standing with us. Hey, just a quick follow-up word. We are listener-supported. We are on the air through your help. Our team producing podcasts, YouTube videos, along with being on the radio. We are here with your help, with your support. If you came and visited our ministry operation, if you saw the scope of it by God's grace worldwide, if you saw the amount of lives being touched, which through the various ministry outlets we have and through those by God's grace we've helped equip and train and send around the world, we're talking about multiplied millions of people being touched every single week. When you see the budget on which we do it and compared to a ministry with our reach, the extraordinarily small amount of monthly supporters we have, you'd be shocked. I'm encouraging you to join our support team. If we have been a blessing to you, in harmony with Galatians 6, Let the one who's taught in the word share all good things with his teacher. If we've been a blessing to you, join our support team. Go to thelineoffire.org. Click donate. One-time gift or monthly support. But look at all the benefits that you get as a monthly supporter, because we want to sow back into you. That's one reason to give. Another reason to give is together we're making a difference. We launched early this year a 30-minute broadcast that's launched on over 200 stations. So it's not live talk. It's equipping. It's teaching. It's edifying. It's helping. It's challenging. It's encouraging. We've launched on over 200 stations, some major stations, and we've got open doors to hundreds and hundreds more, as well as ways to massively expand our podcast and YouTube reach. But we do it with your help. So if you want to partner with us to help speed this gospel-based moral culture revolution, to help strengthen the health of the church and the body, if you want to do that, step out, join us, join our support team. Again, go to thelineoffire.org, click donate, or you can call 800-538-5275. You can give by phone as well, 800-538-5275. Just say, hey, I want to bless and help the Line of Fire broadcast. We welcome you to our support team. I'll say it again. Together, we are making a difference. Let me give you some principles that I believe will be helpful. Faith is believing God and God alone. What's Hebrews 11:1? Now, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. I don't wonder, is Jesus real? I don't wonder, is God's word real? I don't wonder if his promises are real. I know. As surely as I'm sitting here, I said it earlier, in a sense, more surely than even sitting here, I know his truthfulness. And yet, it's something unseen and invisible. Faith is believing God and God alone. Faith gets out of the boat, and faith does not sink. Remember I said faith doesn't try. Look, I've prayed for sick people and tried to muster faith. We're going to believe. We're going to believe it. You don't psych yourself into faith. Faith comes out of relationship with God. Faith comes by meditating on his word. Faith comes by acting in obedience. Fear looks, as Smith Wigglesworth said. Faith jumps. Let me share some other principles with you, principles of faith. Some principles on how to increase faith. How do we grow in faith? How do we become stronger in faith? Some of you can think back. Maybe you're in traveling ministry, right? And you used to need to believe God for $300 a month, you know, for rent and food when you're a young person traveling. And oh man, so much money. How now? Let's say your ministry brings in $50,000 a month, but he's challenging you, okay, I want you to do this new program to help orphans in Haiti, and you're going to need $100,000 more. Okay, it's easier if you believe for that than it used to be for the few hundred a month for your groceries and rent. Now you can believe for $100,000 more because you've grown in faith. You've grown in your faith. At one point, it was, oh, it's hard like to share my testimony with my neighbor, this really sweet 90-year-old neighbor. It's hard to share my testimony, but you stepped out and you acted on it. We've all had to overcome these things, right? And now you're called to be on secular TV and you share your faith boldly. So we grow. We grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, 2 Peter 3. We grow in faith as well. So how do we increase our faith? One thing is that we instantly obey the Spirit. We instantly obey the Spirit. In other words, if I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is telling me to change my direction in a sermon, if I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is directing me to share the gospel with someone, if I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is urging me to give and support a certain ministry, if I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit's dealing with me to get something right in my heart through someone, forgive someone, etc. If I'm convinced that the Holy Spirit is doing it, or the Word of God suddenly jumps off the page and speaks If that's you, if you're convinced, then act on it. That's one way you grow in faith, that when you know it's the Lord, you act on it. Well, let me wait. And a lot of times we just quench the spirit. That's one thing to want to be sure. Lord, is that really you? And God's not some tyrant. He's not playing games with us, putting this carrot out. We never get it, never can get it. So sometimes, like, Lord, I'll do it, but I'm not sure it's you. Okay, fine. Once I'm sure, once you're sure, act on it. Act on what the Spirit says when he says it. And now you're going to find faith coming alive. You know what it's like? You get out of the boat. You take a step. It's like, whoa, the water just got hard under my feet. Before you know it, you're running. You're running on the water. And now others are running and following you because, whoa, that faith is contagious. You must be faithful in the little. You must be faithful in the little. So it's something very small. It just seems so insignificant. Just act on it. The Lord said, act on it. Then you build. You act on something else. You act on something else. You act on something else. And then we learn that we walk by faith, not by sight. So this becomes a life habit. And with it, it brings a courageous spirit. And then we recognize that everything we need for life and ministry was prepared for us before the foundation of the world. It's stored up for us in heaven and can be obtained by faith. God has called me to be a leader in the midst of a gospel-based moral and cultural revolution. Everything needed for me to succeed in that mission has been prepared before the foundation of the world and is obtainable by faith and obedience. What's he called you to do? What's your mission? Mike, I'm not like you. My mission is basically to be a good mom. Oh, that's a small thing? That's a small thing? Being a good mom is a small thing? I feel like my main mission is just to be a good husband. That's a small thing? That's a massive thing. This is greatly important in God's sight. But you will not be able to fulfill that, to be the mom or dad or husband or wife or young person or single person or business person or media influencer or preacher of the gospel. You will not be able to fulfill any of those missions and callings unless you grow as people of faith, because you're going to have to take convictional stands. You're going to have to determine, okay, like I had to determine 2.5 years ago. It's 3 years ago now. 3 years ago, going back to May of 2024. It's important enough. Nancy strongly encouraged me, and I knew she was right, to take one weekend a month as a prayer retreat. Well, I don't pastor a local congregation, so traveling ministry is a big part of what I do. So we do our two radio shows weekly. I teach at 5 or 6 different ministry schools every year, some monthly, some just once a year. I travel and speak. I write day and night. These are the main things I do, debate, dialogue, all of that. But you take one weekend a month. This is a major source of outlet for our ministry, where I can go to churches, I can go to different places, I can go overseas, I can minister, I can pour in, I can bring what God's called me to bring. It's also a major source of income for our ministry, which enables us to reach more people, pay these radio bills, and expand online and support our missionaries around the world, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a step of faith to do that, but it's been life-changing. It's been glorious, and our budget's gone up, not down. And God has raised up people to help us and stand with us, one that we could never at the height. Well, we're at the height of things, but if our ministry was literally 10 times bigger than it is now, 20 times bigger, 30 times bigger monetarily, we could not have afforded to hire a brother whom God has called to work with us and has poured into us now for 2.5 years for free. For free. We could not have afforded to hire him. But God called them to pour into us to help us succeed in the mission. But it was a step of faith to say, okay, one weekend a month, prayer retreat, and seek the face of God and be with God. and become more like him and be changed. And oh, what a great, great life-giving thing this has been. And I look forward, I look at my calendar, I can't wait for the next prayer retreat because it's just special times of intimacy and encounter that just, it's hard for that to happen without pulling away, getting to that place of focus. And that's me. I'm not telling you you're supposed to be doing that. But whatever it is that God's called you to do, it's going to be obtained by faith. It's going to be obtained by stepping out of your comfort zone in obedience to God. And you say, does that mean I throw out my glasses? If your eyes are healed, you won't need your glasses. One brother told me a story that he was at a conference, and it was at a conference place where you shared a room with someone, and he was sharing a room with a colleague who had really bad eyesight. And he received prayer the night before for the healing of his eyes. And the next morning, he put his glasses on and he started crying. But he was upset. And the roommate's the one who told me the story and had prayed for him. The roommate said, what's the matter? He goes, my eyes are worse than I can. Everything's blurry. I can't see anything, even with my glasses. And the guy said, take your glasses off. He was completely healed. He didn't need the glasses anymore. When you're healed, the doctor will tell you, evidence will tell you, you won't need the meds. But you see, it's that stepping out in faith that takes hold of the answer. Then when you have the answer, you don't need the other stuff. What's God challenging you to do? Where is he calling you to step out? Oh, he put it on my heart to speak about these things because we'll never be healthy. We'll never fulfill the mission God's given us unless we learn to walk by faith. We'll be right back.
Are you experiencing fatigue, heart palpitations, or tingling in your hands and feet? These may be signs that you are deficient in vitamin B12, which may increase your risk of serious cardiovascular conditions without you even knowing it. I'm Paul Burnett, a board-certified doctor of holistic health and director of wellness services at Trivita, and I have some exciting news for you. Introducing Trivita's HCY Guard, the breakthrough sublingual B12 natural supplement scientifically formulated to support maximum absorption and support healthy levels of homocysteine. What is homocysteine, you may ask? Well, it's an amino acid that, when elevated, can cause damage to the lining of your arteries, which over time increases your overall risk for a cardiovascular event. Trivita's HCY Guard is highly absorbable because of its sublingual form and because of its methylated form of B12, which enhances its bioavailability, maximizing its crucial role in reducing unhealthy levels of homocysteine. And here's the best part. The B12 and other active ingredients in Trivita's HCY Guard support healthy energy production, brain function, nerve function, and enhancing your overall well-being. So if you're ready to take charge of your heart health and support your body's natural defenses against artery damage, then get your pack of Trivita's HCY Guard today.
To order HCY Guard for yourself or someone you care about, go to Trivita.com, spelled T-R-I-V-I-T-A, and use promo code BROWN25 for 25% off your order. Or call 1-800-771-5584. That's 1-800-771-5584. These statements are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get on The Line of Fire by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends. Here's another way how we can help infuse you with faith and truth and courage. And that is our Frontline newsletter. Once a month, digital, beautifully produced with our team, inspirational message, inspirational testimonies, Hebrew word study of the month, excerpts from one of my books, great quotes. It's yours free. We want to send it to you. Why? Because we want to build you up. We want to strengthen you. We want to do our part. So go to thelineoffire.org and click subscribe. That's simple. You put your name, email address, zip code, and it's yours. We'll put you on our welcome tour, share more of my own testimony with you, more about the 3 R's of our ministry, and how we have thousands, literally thousands of free resources for you. And when you're looking for a subject, oh, I don't know how to answer this question. We probably have covered it somewhere, or we may well have covered it over the years. Just go to thelineoffire.org and search to your heart's content. There's also a Line of Fire app. Just go to the Google or Apple Play Store, put in the Line of Fire, Michael Brown, Dr. Brown, and you should get the right app. Okay, here are some things that will kill faith. Here are some things that will kill faith. Avoid the word. You want to kill faith, avoid the word. We take in the word, the word of God produces changes in our hearts and minds and builds up and strengthens our faith. Jesus said in John 6:63, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. And talk about hearing the gospel. Romans 10:17, that faith comes by hearing the message, and the message is the word of Christ. So as the gospel is preached, that message builds faith. So the principle is that taking the word of God builds our faith. You want to kill faith? Avoid the word. Avoid the word. You want to get anxious, worried? Avoid the word and just look at news all the time. Another way to kill faith is always point to the exceptions and the failures. What about this one? What about that one? You won't build faith with that. You will not build faith. By all means, have compassion on those that don't receive healing. Have compassion on those that don't see breakthroughs. By all means. But if you major on that, your faith will never, ever grow. I was in Italy one time. I've shared this before. You may have heard the story. I was in Italy one time ministering with Christ is the Answer. They had two tents in Italy, and they traveled year-round and preached the gospel, set up in a city for 6 months, preach the gospel, win the lost, move on to the next city, get the people plugged into local churches. So we had a real breakthrough one night, and some people were miraculously instantly healed. I remember someone had gone to the doctor for years for their condition, instantly healed. People were rejoicing. And as we're walking back to get a bite after the meal, the brother, the leader of the missions team, said to me, Brother Victoria, he said, Mike, the people are really encouraged. Yeah, the people are really encouraged. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. And I said to him, I wanted to be spiritual. I wanted to show my love and compassion. I said, yeah, but what about those that weren't healed? And it kind of took the air out of the room. And I realized that did not produce faith. That did not produce faith at all. That didn't help those people that weren't healed. The better thing to do is say, praise God. I rejoice. That's beautiful. Let's keep believing, even for those not touched yet. If God started this, who knows what he's going to do next? So you wanna destroy faith? You want to put out the fires of faith with a cold blanket? Then always point to the exceptions and the failures. Faith... In a certain way, has to have blinders, right? Faith, in a certain way, has to be very, very single-minded. And it's not that you ignore the others, the exceptions, what doesn't happen, but you focus on God and his promises. That's why Jesus tells the parents of the 12-year-old who died, Jairus, right, and his wife, fear not, believe only, and she will live. Tells in Hebrews, it would be Yair, but tells Jairus first, fear not, only believe, and she'll live. So just, that's only, get, the fears are out there, the concerns are out there, but you have this tunnel vision focus. The people I've seen have miraculous breakthroughs have had this tunnel vision focus. I remember being in Richmond, Virginia in the 80s, and I met a woman. And she wanted me to meet her daughter, who then was probably about 5 years old. And she told me her story. And a young man, one of my students in ministry school, knew her and said the church thought she just kind of went crazy. What happened was she was going through a difficult divorce. She was very distraught. She was driving to court, very distraught with her three kids in the car, and probably didn't have them in their safety seats properly. What happened was she wasn't paying attention, got in a bad accident, and the kids got thrown from the car. And this, I mean, she could actually see, like, one with the head split open. You see the brains. So it rushed to the hospital. And the girl, that was the one that was most severely injured, the doctor says she's brain dead. She's brain dead. She's not going to make it. She's got all these other traumatic injuries. And he was a Jewish doctor. And the woman rebuked her and said, "Haven't you ever read Isaiah 53, we're healed by his stripes, my daughter's healed." So my friend said friends in the church thought she had gone off the deep end, that she was in denial. But she hung on. She was determined. She was determined. She believed. And miraculously, the girl comes out of the condition and begins to be healed from these other injuries. So when I met the woman, the girl, she could have been 5, 6, 7. I forget the exact age. I told the story back then more, and I knew all the details quite precisely because she told me, and I was amazed to hear it. And, you know, they said she's okay, she's going to live, but she's going to be terribly handicapped mentally, and then she's going to function. She was really doing well academically already at that point. You know, was ahead of score for her age. But the mother said there's still two problems. Because of the surgeries and the injuries, she's got these scars on her legs, conspicuous scars on her legs. And she still has seizures. So she's on meds for the seizures. So the mom asked me to pray for the daughter for complete healing. When I came back 1 year later, the scars had disappeared. These are not the kind of scars that would heal. They were lifelong scars. They would have been lifelong scars. The scars were completely gone, and she had no more seizures and was officially off medication for seizures. And I honestly felt all I did was just rode on the back of that woman's faith, that she had the faith, and I just agreed with her. It seemed like she had gone fanatical, but it was real faith. There are times when we're just in denial. You know what I'm saying? We can say all we want. The person doesn't make it. The person's not healed. The condition doesn't change. I understand that. I get it. But there is real faith. How do you know it's real faith? Because you get the answer. Because you get the answer. And because somehow deep down you know. So you always focus on the exceptions and the failures. You'll never have faith. They exist. We know they exist. Let's have compassion on those that don't receive the answer to their prayers, the breakthrough, the healing, the thing they're crying out to God for those kids that are in the accident and don't make it. By all means, we have compassion. But if you want to see a breakthrough, you're going to have tunnel vision. You're going to have tunnel vision. Here's another way to destroy faith. Always focus on the natural. I have this much in the bank. I have this much ability. We can do this. We can't do. Many of you could share testimonies with me when God called you to do something very counterintuitive. That right before you had to make a big transaction with your business and you needed every dime that you had in the bank, the Lord said, "Give it away." That missionary needs the money. But if we give it away, give it away. And then you end up with three times what you needed to close the deal. How did that? I don't know how it happened. You want to destroy faith? Always focus on the natural. Always focus on what your eyes can see. Remember what we read, 2 Corinthians 4, that we look not on what is visible, but invisible. For what is seen, what is visible, is temporal. What is unseen, what is invisible, is eternal. And then again, Hebrews 11, Moses endured as seeing him who is invisible. You want to kill faith? Always look for a rational explanation. There are rational explanations to many things, but many things are supernatural. when you're always looking for a rational explanation, trying to explain away the miracle, you'll never grow in faith. I'm not going to turn off my mind. I don't turn off my mind. I study day and night. What if I got a PhD in Near Eastern languages and literatures and broke my teeth and, you know, studying ancient scripts and learning vocabulary and grammar? I wanted to study the word accurately, and the best I could understand Hebrew in its ancient Near Eastern context, the better I could understand the Bible. I'm a thinking person. Nancy and I think, you know, we'll have these in-depth discussions, you know, philosophically about difficult issues. That's in turn off your brain. I'm saying many things don't have a rational explanation. If you're always looking for the, I know you seem stupid. Who cares what you seem like? It's not the issue. Not what other people think about you or how they look at you. Let's believe God. Let's believe God and not always look for a rational explanation. You want another way to kill faith? Be a grumbler and a complainer. Never give thanks. Never stop and thank, Lord, I thank you for this. I thank you for what you did here. Thank you for your faithfulness. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, which tells don't be anxious about anything. Also tells this, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. And Paul writes in Galatians 5 that faith works by love. So you want to kill faith? Grumble, complain, and never give thanks. But be a thankful person, a grateful person, a God-honoring person. Have that holy tunnel vision. Friends, we're going to see mountains move. We're going to see mountains move in Jesus' name.